Hello, everybody, and welcome to This Week in Figure Skating for the week of January 14th through 20th, 2012, the lead-in to January Madness. Canadian Championship started it this week in Mississauga, Ontario, and it was a good one, with truly great performances from a number of skaters, but Patrick Chan wasn't quite one of them. He did claim his sixth title, but not without errors in both programs. It was still one of his better showings of the season, but among other bobbles, his short had a shaky triple-double, and his long he doubled an axle and lost his three jump by falling on the flip. Good thing his quads there were in order. He totaled 273.75, and in the free he needed his big PCS advantage to win the segment over Kenan Reynolds, who had fallen himself in the quad in the short, but then had one of his best frees. Three quads with the back, half quad triple, triple axle, triple toe, and all. Chan himself commented he'd never seen him so happy as he was when he finished skating. Chan won gold by about 12.5 points, but Reynolds won silver by over 50. None of the top seven had a clean short, actually, though Liam Fyris and Andre Rogozin came the closest. Fyris, with a hand down on the triple triple, was initially third over Rogozin with a hand down on the triple axle, but then in the long program, poor Fyris fell three times, twice in partially unrotated jumps, including his only triple axle attempt, and those weren't even his only issues. He was eighth in the segment, and was lucky to hold on to fifth in a national team spot, especially since while both Elijah Bald and Nam Nguyen had falls in their short and long, mostly on their triple axles, Nguyen didn't rotate it either. Nguyen was clean outside the jump throughout, and while Bald doubled a flip, he had a clean axle combo with which to move ahead of Fyris for fourth. Nguyen finished sixth. Rogozin, meanwhile, despite some quibbles on his closing spins, jumped clean, including two triple axles, one with a triple toe, and duly took bronze. The competition was a big disappointment for Jeremy Ten, who had a fall in the short and three in the long to finish ninth. But the show was arguably stolen from everyone by Emmanuel Sandu, who came in talking about simply wanting to enjoy himself because he hadn't been doing so when he last competed back in 2007, had less technical content, fell twice in his free among other errors, showed some nice artistry, and finished 11th with a smile on his face. Chan said he took inspiration before his short by watching Caitlin Osmond's, that he envied her youth and her not feeling the pressure as strongly. Actually, as red-hot favorite for her first title, Osmond did apparently feel it in the weeks before, but you definitely wouldn't have guessed it as she landed the triple toe, and blew it away to break 70 for the highest women's short score ever recorded at Canadians. The perfection broke slightly in the free when, after landing everything else, she got overexcited and went down on her double axle, but by then everyone loved the rest too much to care. She broke 130, totaled 201.34, and won by close to 40 points. Amelie Lacoste, after finishing second in the short but falling on her loop, was quick to say losing the title wouldn't be the end of the world, and she now has to deal with the young skaters pushing behind her. She was right to worry about them. When in her free, she doubled a couple of triples, wrecked a combo with one of them, partially under-rotated a third, and stepped out of an axle. She first went immediately behind last year's junior champion, Gabrielle Dahlman, who with a triple toe, but a fall on her flip, had been fifth in the short behind Julianne Seguin and Adriana DeSanctis, but with the same triple triple and less trouble on her flats in the free, shot ahead for silver in a statement of arrival. DeSanctis was 13th in the free with three falls, and Seguin was 14th with four. They crashed down to 7th and 6th respectively, and it initially looked like Lacoste had held on to the bronze ahead of Elaine Chartrand, who had more or less landed a triple lutz triple toe but fallen on her flip in the short, and came back with a more or less clean free, but that was only because the triple lutz loop triple sow cow she'd opened with had been mistakenly entered into the computer as a sequence. When a protest before the medals given out saw the error corrected, she too was ahead of Lacoste to take the bronze by about a point. The falls of Seguin and DeSanctis allowed Veronique Mallet to surprise as the fifth member of the national team. She did nothing harder than a loop and fell on it in the short, but by this way skated a clean free. In the ice dance, too, there were some post-competition scoring fixes, with three teams initially having an extended lift deduction each in the free dance, which was removed later, including Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer. Not that this mattered, obviously, especially when they looked sublime in both programs and got straight level fours in the short dance, too, though they were hit with some lower levels and two more extended lift deductions in the free dance they were stuck with. When the scores were corrected, their fifth title was won with a total of 187.43. With Caitlin Weaver and Andrew Poget watching from the stands, silver was open. And after the short, Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier weren't too far ahead of Alexandra Paul and Mitchell Islam. Both had level 3 steps, level 4 everything else. But then in the free, while Gillis and Poirier kept this level spread up and had no trouble anywhere, in fact getting a higher tech score than Virtue and Moyer, they too had a deduction to remove, but they didn't even need the extra point. Poor Paul and Islam caught a toe pick on their second step sequence and crashed down, not only seating Gillis and Poirier the silver, but slipping even a fraction of a point behind Nicole Orford and Thomas Williams, who rode two good programs to a very surprising bronze medal, though they even initially got gold medals during the ceremony as those running the event continued to slip up. Karis Ralph and Asher Hill, who were supposed to be the ones in the mix with Gillis and Poirier and Paul and Islam, failed to get any value on their twistles in the short, and then in the free, despite no serious errors, were still only fourth in the segment and failed to move up from fifth overall. They were the third team to have a lift deduction removed, but with them too, it made no change to their position. The pairs might have had only six entries this year, but it was probably the best pairs competition of the year so far. Not to mention the only really competitive senior event here, and a fight to the finish between reigning champions Megan Duhamel and Eric Radford and 2011 champions Kirsten Justin Mortowers and Dylan Moskovich. Even when the former won short and long, it was barely in both cases. In the short especially, they had to rely on their higher technical content, even as their side-by-side Lutzes tripped her up. And with side-by-side toes and easier throw, Mortowers and Moskovich skated a blinder to trail by less than a point. In the free, Mortowers and Moskovich, no slouches themselves with triple sow cows, though still the easier content, went and skated another blinder. So to Hamill and Radford went and skated one themselves, with all their Lutzes clean this time. She called winning the hardest thing she'd ever done in her life. And the final scores were 206.63 to 204.54. Mortowers called it a gold and silver medal if I ever had one. Initially, it looked like it might not be a dissimilar story in the competition for the bronze. Paige Lawrence and Rudy Swiger suffered a fall from her on the triple toes in their short, so while Margaret Purdy and Michael Marinara weren't quite perfect themselves, they were within 0.25 of them. But in the free, Lawrence and Swiger's landed those toes, had a single in their axle sequence, but managed to get through everything else. While Purdy and Marinara weren't so lucky, they weren't able to do a second jump at all, fell in their throw, and were glitchy even outside that. And then Brittany Jones and Ian Beharry, having them clean outside their twist in the short, were the same in the free, and they moved up and knocked Purdy and Marinara down. Last year's novice champion, Anthony Cowan, won the junior men, taking both segments, if narrowly. The junior women, on the other hand, were dominated by Larkin Osman, who showed some of the best skating that event has seen in some time. The junior ice dance, as usual the deepest field of the junior events, was an extremely close affair, with Mackenzie Bent and Garrett McKean winning the short, but Madeline Edwards and Zhao Gai Pang coming back to take it by less than a point. The junior pairs were won pretty comfortably by Haley Bell and Alistair Sylvester, and this pair's event, too, was one skated very well by everybody, all things considered. This afternoon came the Four Continents and Junior Worlds teams, though they're waiting on the World team. It seems Weaver and Poget have conceded Four Continents, as the ice dance team is simply the top three, as is the pairs team. As Chan chose to pass up the competition in favor of conserving himself for Worlds, Bald gets to join Reynolds and Rogozin. The ladies' team was complicated by age and qualification. Dalman is too young, and Mallet, having never competed internationally, has no tech minimums. Skate Canada has also elected to send Chartrand to Junior Worlds alongside Dalman instead, which means that after Osmond, Lacoste gets the second spot, and the third gets handed all the way down to Seguin. Also going to Junior Worlds are Jones and Beharry, Purdy and Marinero, Bell and Sylvester, Edwards and Pang, and Benton McKean, and Nguyen and Gordon Mitchell, who finished seventh in the senior men. Next week, of course, the true fun starts with everyone in Europe headed for Zagreb, at least when the weather this weekend hasn't shut their airport down, and U.S. Nationals already began today. But sadly, the upcoming competitions have seen even more withdrawals than expected. The biggest blow perhaps came Thursday, when the French Federation announced the withdrawal of Nathalie Péchel and Fabien Borza, following his partially tearing a groin muscle in practice the previous day, which will keep him out for several weeks at least. Instead of Zagreb, he will fly to Lyon for treatment, while Péchelot goes to Croatia anyway as the French team captain. That was followed up Friday by Yuri Larionov going down on the ice and landing badly on his hand, being unable to lift partner Vera Bazarova after, and they are pulling out while waiting for further news from the doctor on their prospects in later weeks. Xenia Stilbova and Fedor Klimov go to Europeans in their place. Bare days after a provocative interview from their coach was published, Ludmila Velikova, who like everyone else criticized the Russian Federation's decision to send Maxim Kovdin over Konstantin Menshov, said if age is so important, they should have been sent to the first place over Yuka Kavaguni and Alexander Smirnov, and she thinks the technical panel at Nationals lowballed them, among other skaters. She also criticized the handling of the young female skaters by everyone except Alexei Mishin, and how it's hard in St. Petersburg schools these days because all the money and resources and even potential partners are in Moscow. Also out of the ice dance competition, after having had a bad month altogether, are Isabella Tobias and David Destegnunia, citing his back injury. However, they said this week they are not breaking up, but will go on into 2014 Worlds at least. They talked a bit more about the process, with her noting that she passed a Lithuanian language test, and him commenting they seem to give her more consideration than they had previous partner Catherine Copley. Some of their supporters are even still petitioning the government, though it doesn't sound like much likely to help. The withdrawals out of U.S. Nationals are more expected, at least after last week. Alyssa Cisney confirmed her dislocated hip and inability to compete Monday, but last week's word had actually gotten a bit scrambled in transmission. She didn't need surgery. An orthopedic sports specialist instead manipulated her hip back into alignment. Then a CAT scan came out clean, and coach Jason Dungeon describes her as doing about as well as can be expected. Obviously, she is going to be sore. Best case, some normal physical therapy will strengthen the hip. Next week, she travels to Nashville to meet with the doctor who did her surgery last summer for further examination. Evan Lysacek, meanwhile, waited until Friday to confirm a withdrawal that's been pending a lot longer, saying he's actually now in good health, but 3 weeks shy of competitive form. He describes himself as working hard for the Olympic season. In less expected news, Saturday saw the withdrawal of Vanessa Lamb, dealing with both hip and knee injuries, which cut into her practice time after sectionals. She will be replaced by Lainey Diggs. Another retirement, too, was announced this week, albeit a fairly low-profile one, with Karina Johnson, at age 21 and having lost the Danish title for the first time as a senior, calling it a competitive career. She is signed to skate on Royal Royal Caribbean Cruise Line starting in March. Meanwhile, the roster for Four Continents was posted, albeit with TBAs for all the U.S. and Canadian entries. There are less entries than for Europeans, but 24 men, including Han Yan, apparently at least trying to make it, 23 ladies, including even more happily Kexin Zhang, who apparently unretired when her coach returned to the national team, 14 ice dance teams, with Japan deciding to send Emi Harai and Marion de la Asuncion, and Brina Oi and Tayuma Zatani, along with Kathy and Chris Reed, and only 9 pairs, 3 each from the U.S., Canada, and China, with Wenjing Sui and Kong Han listed for the last, except that according to training mate Xiaoyo Yu's Weibo, they're just going to withdraw. One hopes the same isn't true for Yan. That they were beating up their Four Continents ice dance team had already been announced earlier in the week by Japanese skating officials who have been meeting in Tokyo and making multiple decisions, including assignments to spring events for those skaters that didn't make world, including the assignment of Takehiko Kazuka to the Challenge Cup in The Hague and the Gardena Spring Trophy in Italy, Nobunari Oda to the Bavarian Open in Oberstdorf, and Tatsuki Mishita to the Coupe de Printemps in Luxembourg. Although Kazuka will go to The Hague accompanied only by a pair of novice skaters, to Italy he will lead a team that includes Haruki Imai, Youth Olympics competitor Shu Nakamura, and previously novice competitor Rin Nataya. Oda will be joined in Germany by Kento Nakamura, as well as Yuki Nishino, and Machino will go to Luxembourg with Sei Kawahara, Risa Soji, and Ryo Nakato. Japan will also send to the Trialov Trophy in Jeseni, Slovenia, Daisuke Murakami and Akiko Kazaki and Miyabi Oba, as well as Taiji Honda and Yura Matsuda at the junior level. Also, they announced they were running tryouts for Narumi Takahashi's new partner, currently narrowing down the field of partners while officially giving preference to Japanese citizens, and they may possibly have the new partner chosen by the end of this month. Adjustments are also being made to the rosters of Russian junior nationals at the beginning of February. Kovtin and Nicole Gosfiani are out, as expected, and so is Anna Shershak. On the other hand, Yulia Lipnitskaya is in. Altogether, there are 6 withdrawals and 5 replacements, 3 men out with only 2 coming in. Also possibly not done with the season after all are Katie Denny and John Coughlin. Delilah Sappenfield, commenting about both her top 2 pairs, described him as 3 weeks ahead of schedule in his rehab and said he's doing well enough all in all. They've petitioned to be added to the world team. Meanwhile, she downplayed expectations for Alexis Skimek and Christopher Knyrim, saying they're still gaining experience and trying not to put too much pressure on themselves, and notes they changed the long program because they found their style, and then determined after the Cup of Nice that their old one didn't match that style, though they didn't have the time to make the change until after the Grand Prix. Even outside the pairs, there were a lot of coaches talking this week, including John Nick, who said he might not take Ashley Wagner through to the Olympics, he might choose to retire after this year instead, he might continue to give her lessons, but sums up, "If I feel someone could do a better job, I think she would deserve that." About the other defending singles champion, Yuka Scotto spoke of Jeremy Abbott recently regaining his confidence back when he hadn't had it during the fall, and Abbott himself talked about struggling with back pain, especially at Skate America, and he lost the quad and is only starting to get it back now. He doesn't feel ready enough to do it in the short at Nationals next week, and in the long, he's removed the back-to-back triple axles since he was having trouble pulling them off. Also, how he cried through viewing the movie version of Les Miserables and is using it to fuel his performance. In less pleasant news, Jenrich Stratensky, after making a plea bargain, pleaded guilty to third-degree assault in one court in Lake Placid, and to endangering the welfare of a child in the local county court, partly because of some complications in how the charges had been filed, and as a result had the more serious sexual assault charges dropped, and was fined and conditionally discharged, though the endangerment conviction is actually the one that could see him penalized the most by the figure skating authorities. The victim, who the country prosecutor described as very agreeable to the deal to avoid having to testify, received an order of protection, and her civil lawsuit still pends. The third week of Dancing on Ice saw the return of the practice known as the Duel, where the top 2 teams from the first 2 weeks, the next 2 teams from the same, and so on, battle against each other while performing to one song for immunity from the week's elimination. The judges also declined to give out scores, which might have been a mistake, because when top-scoring Gareth Thomas and Robin Johnstone lost their double went down to Georgia Duel to the less technically good but better performing Matt Lipinskas and Brian Delcourt, they managed to find themselves in the skate-off, and there, they were up against the losers of the second highest scorers duel, Uta King and Mark Hanratty, who had dueled over sisters or doing it for themselves with Beth Twaddle and Daniel Whiston. And though Twaddle had been ill enough to cast her participation in the show in doubt, here tricks and lack of confidence skating by King had left the former immune and the latter vulnerable. As if that wasn't crazy enough! When starting their routine to just the two of us, Hanratty fell and dislocated his shoulder, and they had to stop for medical help. He was taken off and his shoulder was put back into place, and he came back and they went right on. And the routine was pretty good, but so was Thomas and Johnstone's number to Queen's Somebody to Love, and a split panel chose to save the latter and send the former limping away. DSON Skating, the people responsible for the NBC shows, changed its name this week to DSON Sports and Entertainment and announced they're broadening their horizons, doing shows for other kinds of sports and entertainment as well. They're still doing some skating shows, though, and while only doing 4 next year, at the same time, they'll be taking them internationally, doing a skating show in Sao Paulo, Brazil, this August. International shows are now something else they're going into. And finally, finally, congratulations to Michelle Kwan and Clay Pell. Now husband and wife in Providence, Rhode Island. Yesterday, she walked down the aisle with a tear in her eye. Among those in attendance were fellow American skating legends Dick Button, Dorothy Hamill, and Brian Boitano, as well as people like the state governor. Also, to Zhuo Shen and Hung Bo Zhao, who, along with everyone else, are also having a baby. She's at 6 weeks. And that is This Week in Figure Skating. Good night.